My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
I'm not trying to blow my you know what before it's a little too early. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call into the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you're going to get flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. It's Joe Shasky, the morning roast. Bonte's a little ill this morning, so you know we told him go home. Don't get everybody sick. It's all good.
There you go. We don't want sickness here.
And we got Sammy Lubman in the building.
Go. Hello there, everyone.
Let's go.
It's going to be a fun one today.
Look, we're gonna get rocking and rolling here. Look, I know it's been a couple of days, Niner fans. Believe me, I understand. It's been a couple of days, and so maybe you can't really remember that Thursday night win. But boy, did that feel good for the soul.
Oh, absolutely. What's really nice about that, Shasky, is that after being able to enjoy that win on Thursday, a very fun win. It's always fun to win in Seattle, but it's even more fun when you get to kind of beat them down like they did on Thursday night, dropping 36 on their ass on their own field. And I'd say the 12s were really quiet, but it was kind of hard to know. There's too many Niner fans there making all that noise. We're going to get into this, I'm sure, all show long, but the first thing that jumped out to me about that Thursday night game, there were so many Niner fans there. Like, remember when literally Lumen Field, CityLink, the Clink, whatever it is we called it up there? Remember that was like the house of horrors for 49ers fans. It's basically like their second home now at this
point. It's
crazy. Like, did you ever think we would get to this point?
No, I didn't. And I think Russ and Pete and their dominance, whatever, 15 straight wins, whatever Russ ended up having over the Niners, it feels like that voodoo is gone and it's dissipated. But Niner fans, look, today is about you, all right? Now, yeah, we're going to dive into a little bit of MLB, just quiet a little, you know, at about 6:30. A little bit of MLB playoffs just to wet my beak a little.
If it's two garlic fries and if it's the garlic fries and baseball guys cast, we got to talk a little bit of baseball.
Absolutely. And then we're going to get into the little Warriors because they played like 1,000 preseason games over the weekend.
And took that many threes too.
I've got some thoughts. I have some thoughts. But we're also going to have Frank Gore, Niner fans. We're going to have Frank Gore on at 7:30. So in about an hour, all right, Frank Gore, all-time legend, number 21, the guy out of the is going to be here, and we're going to be taking all your calls. Look, Niner fans, I'm going to start here. There is something special about your team not playing on Sunday and not having the Sunday night game or the Monday night game where your team's in it kind of hanging over your head, where you could just sit back and watch football for the entire day and just let chaos ensue. Because I'm sitting here yesterday, and I'm on the couch, and I was in and out of the car in the morning, and I had a little baseball, this, that, and the other, listening to Baldy on the radio here on 95.7 The Game, and I'm saying to myself, wow, the Cowboys are imploding! Wow, the Philadelphia Eagles are chanting, get Sirianni out of here, essentially.
And Sirianni's basically egging them on to keep chanting louder, because why else? It's Philly.
It's unbelievable. And then I'm just looking around the NFL. Deshaun Watson's still as bad as ever. The Colts with Joe Flacco, are you kidding me? And then I look up and the Commanders are leading the NFC East. What? Arizona is getting throttled again? Thank you, Wilson, for putting up some fantasy points. The NFC North looks like the SEC in its prime. You got the Vikings at 5-0, the Lions at 4-1, the Bears at 4-2, and the Packers at 4-2. And then the NFC South, you got the Bucks and the Falcons. Look, as a Niner fan, you're sitting here and you're just surveying the landscape. And all you can say is, hey, look, on any given Sunday, anything can happen. And now that the 49ers have kind of righted the ship, they're 3-3 at the top of the NFC West. What are your big thoughts on the NFC as a whole? Sam, I'm going to start with you. I want to hear from people. 888-957-9570. I think one of the biggest developments is my fear of the NFC North. Heading into this year, I thought, all right, well, you know, the Packers will be good. I mean, they gave the Niners a run for their money, but let's see it throughout 17 games. And we know that Detroit is big. And I thought the biggest development over the weekend, and it sucks because I'm a huge fan of this guy, the Aiden Hutchinson essential MMA injury, because that was like an MMA where a guy kicks a guy and he breaks his leg.
He had an extra knee in his shin bone, basically. That's how bad it was there. I mean, that was, you know, it's bad. You know it's bad when the TV replays don't even go to it. Like, I mean, they've gotten better at that. Now, there was once upon a time where, you know, they would show the ugliest injuries over and over and over again. And we've kind of, you know, grown and matured as a society where we feel like we don't need to do that anymore. So I didn't really get a good look at it, but I did see the replay this morning. And, oh, yeah, that was just so, so ugly to see. You really feel for the guy, and you have to feel for that team, for that fan base too, because that Detroit Lions fan base, what they've been able to have over the last year after being just an absolute doormat forever, basically, and then they finally get something nice, they finally get something great, and they have this great defender who's at the heart of it all in Aiden Hutchinson, and now they're going to be scrambling, you know, on defense in a sense now for the rest of the year, because, I mean, we saw it a couple years ago, Shasky, when the Niners lost Nick Bosa in that 2020 season on the turf at MetLife. It completely changed the tenor of that defense for the rest of the year. This year, we're seeing it without Dre Greenlaw. It's incredibly different. When you lose a bedrock defender like that, it is going to create reverberations throughout the rest of your season.
He's a superstar. Like, legit. Come out and say he's a superstar.
Like, he is top three defensive end of the league, right up there with Bosa and Watt.
And I look at it, and I was just looking at some of his pressure rates through eight games. Now, it's through eight games. He has the highest pressure rate since 2019. And that goes back to who? Nick Bosa. That's how good he's been this year.
And you don't even need to play the small sample size card, Joe, because we've seen it over through his entire career. Like, that's just how good he is right now.
But that is not the number one thing I want to laugh about this morning, because I feel awful for him. But you know who I don't feel awful for? Happy birthday, Jerry Jones!
Oh, it was his birthday yesterday?
Happy birthday, Jerry Jones!
What a sad way to spend your birthday.
82 years young. 82 years young.
Yeah, I'm sure
and
that
I'm
was
telling
on his
you
schedule.
Right now, they lost in one of the most embarrassing fashions. Look, I woke up and I went to baseball. I come back. I got to see this Lions Cowboy game. It's going to have monster ramifications on the 49ers. And the Cowboys are wearing navy blue jerseys with white pants. And I swear to God, the score was 1,000-1 at one point in that game. How great is it to watch the Cowboys go down? The worst home loss in the Jerry Jones era on his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to you, Jerry. I mean, really, it's tough, though. I mean, the Cowboys, they only have, I think the highest paid quarterback and the highest paid receiver in the league on their team. So when you have that kind of, you know, manpower in your team, you can really only expect so much from a football team. You just hate to see it at this point.
It's so great when they lose that way. I called my grandpa and I'm talking to him about, you know, LJ's birthday, and hey, we got this event, I'm gonna pick you up. He goes, I'm just sitting here enjoying that the Cowboys are getting boat raced.
The best how about them Cowboys call ever, right?
He goes, I can't turn the channel to Red Zone because I just want to enjoy how bad this Cowboy game is.
Yeah.
He also had fantasy implications on it, which I totally understand and I respect. But my goodness, we got Ken behind the glass tonight, Sammy. Ken, we are monitoring 105.3. All right, that's our Dallas.
My God, that's true.
Counterpart, our radio station. If we hear anything from them, I might even want to simulcast and just listen to
should
how
we just call in
and
on air. It's like a normal caller. But it's like, does it go to Joe in San Francisco, and then it's just us on the line?
Just laughing at them. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
It'd be the fastest hang-up ever.
Jerry Jones, he's got to think about firing McCarthy, and that's got to be a 49er fan's worst
someone
nightmare.
Someone asked him about that yesterday. Ken, do we have that back and forth ready to go?
Someone asked him about McCarthy.
The all-time Jerry Jones right here.
I got to hear it.
If you could, please.
What would it take you to evaluate making a head coaching change in season? Oh, I haven't even considered that. I'm not considering that. Just so you're clear, I'm not considering that.
But you've done it.
I wouldn't be a hypothetical in that matter. Do you think I'm an idiot? Do you? Okay, well, I'm not going to hypothetical with you about when I'd consider coaching change in light of the timing we're sitting here with. I'm not at all.
I just want you to know, Joe, I haven't given it a single thought. No thought whatsoever. It has not crossed my mind. I haven't even thought about having it cross my mind. There is not a single thought in my mind about potentially even thinking about considering the thought of making an in-season coaching change. That is not something I am at all prepared to think about.
You think I'm an idiot?
Kenny, first off, save that drop for the rest of time. And then second, mark the tape right there. I don't know if we're marking tapes these days.
Roll on my computer, Kenny, and get it.
Please,
there.
That is impression of the year. Limited fake. Absolutely love it. I mean, Mike McCarthy, we don't want him to get fired.
Jerry.
Niner fans don't want him. This is their last four home losses. The first half score. They've lost four in a row at home, the Dallas Cowboys, since the wild card loss in January. They've been outscored 110-35 in the first half.
Jeez.
110-35. They can't run the ball.
Since when?
Since their wild card loss to Green Bay.
Wow.
Four straight home losses. Mike McCarthy, Nick Sirianni, these are the gifts that keep giving. I want them to all win just enough so that they never get fired, because you know who would be in the mix. Both spots. Mr. Bill Belichick. Well, and that's the last thing we want.
Yeah, well, I mean, Belichick's 72, 73 years old. I mean, I'd be interesting to see what he could still bring to the table. But I guess there is rumors flying around today that Bill Belichick and the Jones family have a very, very good relationship.
Ooh,
really? What could that mean? It seems that they probably ran into each other in the hallway. Hey, how you doing? That's about it. No, I mean, Belichick, he's always going to be that kind of rumor guy who's going to be hanging over him. I mean, at some point, Jerry has been around long enough he's been around enough mediocre coaches to know when it's time to move off of one. The way he's going out saying, I have not given a single thought to moving off Mike McCarthy in season, That's like the vote of confidence, you know, in a sense right there, that dreaded vote of confidence, but in a more negative sense. When he's saying, no, it has not crossed my mind 1 minute, he spent all day on his birthday imagining all the fun ways that he is going to fire Mike McCarthy at some point. They're going to another bye week, too, this week, are they not?
Yes,
Cowboys?
They are.
Oh, so you have 2 weeks to sit on that birthday memory. Like, come on, Jerry. It is absolutely noodling around that noggin of yours this morning.
No doubt. And speaking of bye weeks, you know who's coming off one? Facing the Niners this week?
Who is that?
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh,
and Andy Reid, who has 289 wins all time. He's 36 away from third place in
isn't he like undefeated or something coming off the bye two, or he's got like two or three losses ever in his life?
Yeah, he's 4,001 coming off of a bye week.
No, but honestly, the one was against Brady and the Bucks in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that's the key. Have a Tom Brady.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk to Frank Gore on the River Islands guest line at 7:30. We're going to have Carrington Harrison, who's from Kansas City, at 8:30, and a little Warrior talk with Dalton Johnson at 9:20, and all these guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest time. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. And so I'm just looking at the NFC, Niner fans, and look, we've been down bad. You lose to the Cardinals and the Rams the way that they did. I get being frustrated. The Viking game, all right, let's throw that out the window, because I think the Vikings
are
really good.
That's looking less and less bad every passing week right now.
Absolutely. But I'm looking at it today, and I'm saying, all right, you sat back all weekend and you watched football throughout the division. Jaden Daniels is a rookie. He's been very impressive. I'm extremely impressed with him, but he's a rookie. He sits atop the NFC East. Do you fear them? The Philadelphia Eagles, 3-2, they're chanting for their coach to get fired. Do you fear them? How about the Cowboys, 3-3, worst home loss of the Jerry Jones era. Do you fear them? All right, and let's go to the NFC West. Obviously, you play the Seahawks. I kind of just dismiss Geno Smith. I hate to be that guy. Arizona, I still can't believe we lost that game. I guess they just have our number. The Rams, let's throw them out the window. They're 1-4. The NFC North. Do you really, truly think Sam Darnold, with zero playoff experience, they're impressive. I am not just...
He's looking like a new man this year, Shasky, though. That's the thing.
But you don't think that second time around? Okay, Vikings, I'll give you. Lions, I fear them. I absolutely fear them. But they're going to have no Hutch.
And that's going to be a very different team now without Hutchinson.
Absolutely. Bears, Packers, 4-2. Packers, let's see. Now, they're a team I do fear. Their defense is revamped. Bears, rookie quarterback. Then I look at the South. I fear Tampa Bay. Baker Mayfield's playing explosive football right now. The Falcons, I don't know what to make of them. Who do you fear in the NFC? Who do you fear, Niner fans? You've had the weekend to sit back and watch. Sam, who do you fear in the NFC?
Well, I mean, right now, you look around at the league. First off, this is the snapshot of the NFC standings right now. If the season had ended today or yesterday or whatever, the playoffs as such look like this. You got the Vikings with the 1 seed. The Falcons are the 2 seed. Your Washington Commanders got the 3 seed. Niners sitting there in the 4 seed atop the NFC West. The Lions at 4-1, they got that 5 seed. Then you got the Bucks in the 6 seed and the Packers in the 7 seed. So in this situation, the Niners would be hosting the Lions right off the bat in that first week of the playoffs. Again, in this hypothetical snapshot.
Yeah, we're a long way away.
I would feel good about that. There's a good chance you'd probably have to go to Washington, possibly, in that second round. I'd feel good against the Niners taking on the Commanders there. And then in that NFC title game, you're looking, I don't know, it looks like Bucks could be there. Well, no, Bucks would be playing the Commanders in that first round. But you're looking at potentially the Vikings going to Minnesota or Atlanta in that NFC title game.
We're
to be
a
honest,
long way away from
that. I'm looking ahead, but this is basically a long-winded way of me saying that if that is the path that the Niners have to go through or something similar to that, I actually don't feel that pessimistic about the Niners' chances if that is their path. We know that we've seen in the past this defense has the ability to travel. They are going to get it sounds like the Niners are pretty adamant, it sounds like, that McCaffrey will be back at some point this year. The way they're banking on that makes me think, all right, I mean, if you guys say so, that would certainly help if that does happen. I'm not banking on Dre Greenlaw coming back, but it comes down to the fact that when you look at these teams in the NFC, like, the playoffs are a totally different animal. We know that. The Niners are probably the most battle-tested team in the NFC playoff field right now. How many of these teams are you actually trusting to kind of keep it together when that playoff stage comes around?
That's a great question.
You say, who do you worry about the most in the NFC? I mean, yeah, I think usual suspects. The Lions have the tools to beat the Niners. The Bucks have the tools to beat the Niners. Outside of that, though, I mean, Packers probably need some things to break their way if they want to beat the Niners. The Vikings, I still think there's some sort of, like, we're waiting for the other shoe to drop on that one. And I will never sit back and be like, oh, Kirk Cousins scares me. I'm not that kind of guy.
On the other side, I'm going to explain to you why this weekend's game against the Chiefs has potential to catapult the Niners into the top spot in terms of perception in the entire league. There's no doubt about it. This is a monster, monster, monster weekend for the soul, psychologically, standings-wise, and stamping a signature victory in the entire league. I think it would be one of the big victories in the league. I got so much to talk about. I mean, come on, Niner fans. Where are you at? I know Thursday night's game was incredible. You had all weekend to watch football. Cowboys lose. Oh, it's so sweet. Detroit Lions, they blow them out, the Cowboys. But they lose one of the superstars of the league in Aiden Hutchinson. Everything is on the table in the NFC. And the Niners season is back on track. And that's what's coming up on the game. And it's brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
You think I'm an idiot?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Yo, Bay Area, what it do? It's your boy P-Lo. You're listening to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, P-Lo? Let's go. And what's up, Roasters? What if I told you there was the best Giants baseball talk to be had, even in the offseason? Because they still haven't hired a GM. Sam Lubman, the guy across from me, filling in for Bonte today, and Joe Shasky are there for you. With Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast, catch the most recent episode, and we kind of explain why Buster Posey will succeed as Giants president of baseball operations. And we'll have all the episodes all off-season long, so listen today wherever you listen to podcasts, including on the free Odyssey app. Now, look, you've had a weekend, Niner fans, and I know it feels a long way away, but think about Thursday night. You went up into Seattle, a team that, quite frankly, had your number for close to a decade, and now you have their number, and a bunch of rookies showed out. Showed out. Isaac Garrendo finally looked good.
Breakout game.
Renardo Green, huge interception. Mm-hmm. Malik Mustafa, huge interception. Oh, what about your young franchise quarterback? I don't know. Looked incredible.
The way he's able to move around the pressure that's been coming at him this year and the way he's been able to adjust that, it's been phenomenal.
It's been unbelievable. Nick Bosa, who we've criticized left and right, and rightfully, looked outstanding.
Creating havoc. And we didn't really say his name on Friday, Shasky, but I want to give this guy a little bit of love, too, because, you know, we've been kind of putting him under a microscope for not living up to the expectations we've set for him. I kind of like what we saw from Leonard Floyd on Thursday night at 2. Like, again, it's not the most, you know, gaudy stat sheet, but he was forcing some pressures, too, forcing Geno into some, you know, non-ideal situations there. I want to give Leonard Floyd his due, because the guy, he, not his greatest game, but again, a positive night, I thought, on Thursday night as well, on the opposite side of Bosa.
There's no doubt about it. And I look at this team, and they were up against it. Like, they lose that game, they go to 2-4, and they drop in the standings. Mm-hmm. And then you win that game, now you're 3-3. With the huge weekend setup, Niners-Chiefs. Now, there's been some big wins this year. Tampa Bay's had some big wins early on this year. I think as of right now, and we could argue this till we're blue in the face, the signature win in the NFL is Baltimore beating Buffalo. I thought that was the best win of the year for any team thus far. It's early.
The only one you could probably maybe hold up close to it is the opening night win when the Chiefs beat those same Ravens when Isaiah Likely couldn't get the toe in. That's probably the closest one, I would say.
Okay. And I'd listen to that. But I would think that this Baltimore team now removed from week one feels different. They feel better. Now, Lamar feels like the MVP again, which is crazy. Derrick Henry feels like comeback player of the year again, which is crazy.
He leads the league in touchdowns, I saw.
Dude, he's amazing.
It's who thought he had this much left in the tank? I mean, obviously he did, but I mean, he looks incredible right now and easily one of the best running backs Lamar could possibly have in the backfield with him.
But the reality is I view things through the Niner prism. I'm a Niner fan. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at this I'm saying the Niners this weekend could get the most signature win in the NFL
of the season so far, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely there for you. I mean, it would be one of the more signature regular season wins of the Shanahan era just in general, too, because Shask, I mean, that, for how much this win would mean, we've seen in Shanahan's time here, one thing that's kind of troubled him is those top-tier AFC teams. You know, going back to 2021, you know, we had that with the Christmas Eve loss to the Titans. That was a frustrating one. They had the loss to the Ravens in 19 and the loss to the Ravens last year. Obviously, we know all about the struggles against the Chiefs. They had a tough time against the Bills back in 2020. Granted, that was a more banged up team. But if you look at the teams that, you know, have been at the top of the AFC the last few years, they got the Bengals in 21. Mm-hmm. I think that's like the only team that they've been able to beat. So will it be a signature win this season? Absolutely. Even more importantly for the Niners, if you want to look through the Niner prism, this would be one of the signature regular season wins for Kyle Shanahan to show that he could take on one of these AFC elite teams, not just any AFC elite team, but the ultimate boogeyman in the AFC. To be able to get that win, I think it would be so cathartic for this fan base, for this team to be able to have that notch on their belt.
They've won monster regular season games. The New Orleans one in 2019 comes to mind because that was just one of the great games.
Like there was like five or six all-time classics that year.
Absolutely. And there's been some great wins against McVay that I don't want to sleep on, just some monster wins. But like, think about this.
Big wins over the Packers too. Like they've notched some monster wins in the regular season, definitely.
Absolutely.
Not trying to take away from that.
No.
It just hasn't been against AFC teams.
No, but and against this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't just mean Andy Reid, because Andy Reid's awesome, and everybody knows where Andy Reid stacks up all time. I mean, it's Belichick, Walsh, it's some combination for most people. Belichick, Walsh, and Andy Reid somewhere in the mix.
He's in that small room of just the upper echelon coaches.
Maybe you got Gibbs, maybe you got Parcells, maybe you got Shula. Like, I'm sure that, you know, depending on how old you are, like, all of those things are in the mix. But, like, Niner fans, think about this. This is a guy in Patrick Mahomes. He's put together a Joe Montana resume, and you are two of the pelts on the wall. You're his Cincinnati Bengals to his Joe Montana. I hate this guy. He's awesome. And the part that bugs me for the Niners is they psychologically need to get over the hump. And I know people are going to say, a regular season win is not the same as a Super Bowl. Absolutely. No one is saying
The Eagles beat the Chiefs last year in Kansas City. That's where he got the Sirianni Sia drop from. You had to feel that felt good for the Eagles. How did that season work out for them?
The bottom fell out from underneath them.
Exactly.
But I think that given where this season is going right now for the Niners, they need this in the standings big time. They need this win mentally big time to get over the hurdle of Kansas City. Mm-hmm. They need to know in the back of their head that they can take out Kansas City. Now, look, it's a different beast come playoff time and Super Bowl. I get all that. But for this season, considering all of the drama that's happened over the last 3 months, if they can find a way to knock this guy off with this coach, given their record this year, and they've got injuries too, this would be the signature win, I believe, in the NFL, because it rights the ship for the Niners, puts them back in their rightful spot at the top of the NFC in terms of everyone's seeding.
The Q rating, yeah.
And they know spiritually, psychologically, emotionally, physically, they can beat Kansas City. And
one less unbeaten in the NFL ranks, too. So obviously the 72 Dolphins would be big fans of that. But no, I agree with you. It's
without CMC?
Going into what's going to look like right now, a practice game against the Dallas Cowboys, you're going to be, if you could somehow pull
that
off this weekend, if you could somehow pull it off this weekend, the jolt you will give this team surging into that Cowboys game, then surging into the bye week. I was asking, I look at the Niners schedule after the bye week. Now, you know, it's not all cakewalk, obviously. You play the Bucs coming right out the bye week. That's going to be a very tough one, though. But again, you are coming off the bye week there, which, you know, I do try. I like Kyle Shanahan teams coming off the bye week. I like this team coming off the bye week, especially because after the bye week is probably the first most likely situation where you will see Christian McCaffrey suiting up again for the 49ers. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. You know, I kind of do agree with the Bonte Hill school of just like whatever you get from Christian McCaffrey this year is a bonus. But it's feeling like that bonus could be manifesting itself too soon. But you burst out of that bye week there with at the Bucs, and you got the Seahawks, at Packers, at Bills. That's a tough stretch right there. But if you could ride this momentum coming off of this win into the Cowboys game, into the bye week, I mean, I think they could probably go 3-1 in that stretch. I'll be honest. Like, it sounds bold saying it right now, but I like this Niners team. Again, I'm looking way too far ahead.
You're
here.
Way out in front.
The reason I'm looking so far ahead, though, is because what I feel this win, a win this weekend will set up. That's what I'm kind of this is why I'm looking so really far ahead, because it's you pull this off on Sunday, I think that's the kind of the vibe you can kind of start feeling for this team in the weeks that follow.
Let me peel this back to you. And we're going to talk to Frank Gore in less than an hour. Less than an hour, all-time legend, number 21, Frankie G. Frank Gore is going to talk with us. But we're going to talk to a guy from Kansas City who does a one-on-one with this guy every single week. His name's Carrington Harrison, all right? And he has Patrick Mahomes on his show every single week.
Oh, man, what a great interview that would be.
Patrick Mahomes, I believe, is having the greatest quarterback career of all time in real time. I feel like I can easily say that. I think LeBron is at the top of the list. I'm sure for everyone it's a little different. But I want to know from Niner fans, this is a guy you could have drafted. This is a guy who's beaten you not once, but twice in the Super Bowl. Not once, but twice. And you were up on him in the fourth quarter. Not once, twice. He had a walk-off touchdown against you in the latest Super Bowl. I think Patrick Mahomes, when it's all said and done, is going to surpass LeBron James as the all-time enemy of Bay Area fans.
I mean, if there's someone out there in Bay Area sports who's more hated than Patrick Mahomes, please, 888-957-9570, call in and give me that person's name, because I'm kind of curious who could possibly sit atop the hate rankings in Bay Area sports more than Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the closest I could think of right now, Shasky, is that guy playing baseball for the Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani. That is the only guy who comes close, who I can put on that list. But even that, to your point, as you're saying, not even in the same stratosphere as Patrick Mahomes. The way that Patrick Mahomes has owned the 49ers, I mean, with Shohei, the hate basically boils down to he is a Dodger. But he has not won anything yet.
Shohei's not a Dodger. He's been there a year.
He's not won anything with the Dodgers yet.
Tommy Lasorda, Clayton Kershaw are significantly higher on my, and I'm older than you, but my algorithm of Dodger hate.
Oh, I'm just like
Lasorda,
right now.
Kershaw.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, those guys are all there as well. I mean, there's a long laundry list of hateable Dodgers out there, but
Puig.
None of them. Oh, Puig absolutely is up there. Oh, my God, there's so many. You know who I hated the most? I always hated Sean Green back in the day, Paul Aduka.
Yeah, but those guys are on
those
no
guys
level.
Are small
Come
time
on.
Compared to Patrick Mahomes. Like, the biggest, like, Clayton Kershaw, I used to despise him. Eventually, though, you have to just kind of come around and respect how good he is. So, do I hate him? Yes, but I respect him too. So, that's going to, you know, kind of change where he ranks in the all-time hate rankings. But to your point, Shasky, all these names I'm rattling off right now, the hate might be strong, but the name factor and the Q rating pales in comparison to we're feeling for Patrick Mahomes.
Take a step back.
It is another level with him.
Who are the people you hate the most, Bay Area sports fans? 888-957-9570. Is Mahomes number one? Like, LeBron, you beat him the first time you played him in the all-time game.
See, that's why it's hard for me to put LeBron atop the hate rankings. Because
are you kidding me?
The Warriors are 3-1 against him in the finals.
Yeah, but I still
hate
him.
They have the ownage on him.
Because he's
like,
considered
do you think we
the all-time
Patrick,
great.
Do you, if for whatever reason, if the Niners win the next three Super Bowls against Patrick Mahomes,
I'll
is
still
that
hate
gonna,
him.
Yeah, but you're not going to hate him as much to hate him right now. The hate changes once you beat them. Like,
that's
I used
true.
To despise
no,
LeBron.
That's
I used
true.
To despise LeBron, and then they beat him in that first final. It's like, you know, suck it, LeBron. We're better than you. And then he beat us the next year. You'll come back from 3-1. That was when the hate was at his peak. And I couldn't stand LeBron. I just was disgusted at the sight, the mere mention of his name. And then they embarrassed him in the next nine finals games, beating him 8-1 in that stretch. You know, J.R. Smith had him looking like a clown on the court. You get to a point where it's just like, I can't hate you because we've just beaten you so much. It's just sad at this point.
So
there's always going to be a level of vitriol towards LeBron, but if you were to ask me the thing that I hate the most about LeBron, it's the fact that Draymond Green loves him so much.
Oh, my
That's
goodness.
The thing I hate the most. The fact that, you know, you got Draymond Green drinking LeBron James Hennessy over the weekend, getting all excited about that. That's the thing that irritates me at LeBron about LeBron James the most now at this point. Like, when you've beaten him so many times, like, how can you really hold that same level of hate?
Well, so I just started writing down some of the people, all-time Bay Area enemies. And I think a lot of these guys fall way short. When you lose twice in the Super Bowl, Jimmy Johnson is a guy. I hated Jimmy Johnson. The hair, the face, the arrogance, everything about him. Hated him.
It's hard to keep that hair looking that good in that humidity.
Bill Parcells. I hated the Big Tuna. Absolutely couldn't stand him. Lawrence Taylor feared him more than any. I didn't hate him the way I hated Bill Parcells. I don't know why. I'm looking at Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. They're almost the same guy. Hate Russ. Legitimately hate Russ. I hate Mahomes more. because we could have had him. We could have had him. And here's the thing about Russ.
And I think that's, hold on, because we are up against it here, Chesky. I think that's the point that I think needs to hit home the hardest. You know, we watched that quarterback doc a couple years ago on Netflix, the big take. We all had our big takeaways. My takeaway was this, and these are the six words that are going to haunt Niner fans for a generation. Patrick Mahomes could have been a 49er. Like, that's what I think is the most hateable part, is that he should have been here with the Niners.
All right. It's a simple question. 888-957-9570. Do you hate Patrick Mahomes more than any other person in Bay Area sports history? It's very simple. And that's what's coming up on The Game. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, Baldy, you're the best, but no, Bonte's out today. He's not feeling too well, so we got Sam Lubman filling in for him. You know, one of the greats. And this segment is sponsored by Golden State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. And look, Niner fans, huge win Thursday night against the Seahawks. You had all weekend to kind of survey the land, sit on your couch. Hopefully your fantasy team won. I'm looking pretty good right now.
Must be nice.
Yeah, exactly. And we got to enjoy an unbelievable loss from the Cowboys. We got to enjoy Philadelphia Eagle fans chanting for Sirianni to be fired, only to have Sirianni,
after a win, by the way,
act like a WWE wrestler, go to the crowd and scream and yell. And what I'm thinking about this morning is how, dude, A, the Niners are back in the mix. That's number one. For as down bad as we were for about 3 weeks, and for the last couple months, things have been so negative, but they're right where they need to be. And then B, you have one of the big matchups of the year on the NFL calendar. It's the Super Bowl rematch. It's Mahomes and Andy Reid coming off a bye. It's the Niners without CMC, and they're at home, and they have to win this one. And it got me thinking, because we're going to have... His name is Carrington Harrison. That's a very difficult name to say. Carrington Harrison.
On this show.
He does the drive on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. And every week he talks to Patrick Mahomes. And so I'm just thinking, like, outside, like, Niner fans, this guy, Patrick Mahomes, I think I might hate him more than LeBron.
I think that's fair.
And the way I view my algorithm on all-time hate, like, there's guys I hate who aren't good enough, right? Like Danny Green. Hate Danny Green, but he's not good enough to make my all-time
list. That's more like, yeah, that's more small-time, like, localized hate.
So, like, to be on my list, you have to be great, great, an all-time legend. So, like, Harden, James Harden. I hate James Harden. He doesn't make my list.
He has the same number of rings as you and I.
Well, it's not even that. He's not even good enough.
Well, yeah, that goes to point, yeah.
Pete Carroll is on my list. All-time hate.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson is now off the list, even though I did hate him forever.
He kind of played himself off the list.
He did.
I mean, do you think it was the 2019, that last week 17 game of 2019 in Seattle when the Niners, you know, beat the Seahawks to clinch that division? Was that for you the moment where, like, the shine off Russell Wilson started to fade?
The greatest moment for Niner fans in Russell Wilson's career was when he threw the interception at the goal line.
So that was the moment for you where the shine started to fade
Absolutely.
Off Russell Wilson. You know,
God. One of the great moments in non-Niner history.
When you make God bleed, people start believing he's God.
Exactly.
You know?
Jimmy Johnson. I hate Jimmy Johnson. I don't even hate Jerry Jones as much as I hate Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson... Unbelievable talent evaluator, swag off the charts.
Great
the hair,
coach.
The arrogance. I hated Jimmy Johnson. Bill Parcells hated him. Tommy Lasorda hated him. There's a theme going on here.
A lot of coaches.
LeBron's at the top of my list. All right, let's go out to the lines. 888-957-9570. Is Mahomes number one on your all-time Bay Area sports hate list? Let's go out to Big Pun in South City. Big Pun, I hope you're doing well, buddy.
What's up,
hope
Big
all
Pun?
Is well. Who is your number one all-time Bay Area sports hate list?
Morning, Fidoni Shasky. Right on, man. Now, I hate LeBron James. Don't get me wrong. But we beat LeBron James. We had a little owners over LeBron James for a little while. The man I hate Patrick Mahomes. Right now, he's the most because he beat us twice in the Super Bowl and the way he beat us. So, yes, Patrick Mahomes is number one. But the man I hated most up until this point was Brett Favre. I couldn't stand Brett Favre. He owned us in the 90s. The way he beat us was like a little worm, little weasel running around, making these incredible plays, and he would beat us. Now, we beat him with T.O. with the miracle catch. That was great, but he owned us except for that game. Shasky, you guys, I got to go. I'm sitting outside of my doctor's appointment right now.
Hey, good luck, buddy.
Yeah, take care, man.
Is the man I hate.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? So, like, I don't know how old you were when Favre was ripping our hearts out.
I was, you know, 5-6 years old.
Brett Favre is absolutely at the top of that list.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still remember him towards the end of his career when he was still that guy. I mean, I guess the most, like, heartbreaking Brett Favre moment that jumps out to me, he wasn't even a Packer at the time. It was that overtime win he had his first year in Minnesota, where he had that overtime win against the Niners, got the walk-off touchdown pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's horrible. Probably the most, like, oh, God, I hate that guy moment for me as growing up watching Brett Favre.
So part of, like, the way I do my hour, and everyone's different, right? I want to hear from all the people. 888-957-9570. Like, we're going to have Carrington Harrison, who's going to appear on the River Islands guest line, and Frank Gore in like 30 minutes. Okay? Frank Gore, all-time 49er legend. And I'm sure he hates Mahomes too. You have to respect their play to be able to be on my all-time hate list. That's the way I view things, right? So, like, for example, I don't hate Dak. Like, Dak's not good enough.
No, he's not.
He's not good enough to hate. You know, like he's not. Now, at one time, it was Russ, but seeing him in a Steeler like uniform with the helmet on the sideline, now I just kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah,
I can't believe I'm there.
Yeah, it was one of those things. Like, Like, I never really liked Russ a lot early on in his career with the Seahawks, mainly because it was, I mean, you talk about how you need to be good enough to get your hate.
Yes.
For me, it was just like, I never thought he was as good as people tried to make him out to be early on in his career. Like, he had one of the greatest defenses in NFL history cleaning up his messes. He was maybe a slightly above average quarterback the first 4 or 5 years of his career when everyone was feting him as this, you know, the greatest thing since sliced bread. Oh, he's good enough to go, you know, have him throw for it at the 1 yard line. No, you got this delusional, like, stupid thought that Russ was good enough there and it cost you a Super Bowl when you should have been running it to Marshawn Lynch. So, Russ, I hated him more because, like, everyone thought he was like this grand, incredible thing. No, he's an okay quarterback with a really good defense.
But that's the difference right now for Mahomes. He feels like Darth Vader, like Thanos. He's inevitable.
Oh, he is everything.
And that's why you hate him.
He is everything that, you know, the people used to love saying that Russ was.
I know. Well, but he's also not a quote-unquote jerk. So he's in its own unique category. Like, if he was my quarterback, reason. I'd love him.
Oh, absolutely.
So let's go out to the phone lines here. 888-957-9570. All right. Frank Gore in 30 minutes. We play the Chiefs this Sunday. You have an opportunity. I know it's the regular season. This is a big game for the Niners. Big game in the standings. Big game for the soul. We got to beat Mahomes, man. Let's go out to Caitlin in Santa Cruz. Caitlin, step right up. What do you got? Who's the most hated person on your list? Bay Area, all time.
Okay, this is probably an unpopular opinion, but Richard Sherman. Cannot stand
him. That's a good one.
He was a Seahawk. I hated all of his post-game interviews. I hated when he came back to our, like, to the Niners and the Bay Area. I know he was a Stanford guy, so he was extremely intelligent and articulate when he spoke. But his arrogance, I still can't even stand seeing his face at the desk now. It just, ugh. It was the worst.
Bonte agrees with you.
Is what really sold it. Yeah.
Bonte agrees. There was a point in time where if Richard Sherman's face came on my television, I had to flip the channel. When he did to Michael Crabtree after the whole Bowman injury and the way that
that's
the Niners
everyone
lost,
started to hate him.
He, which is crazy because, and I know that you're too young, I felt the same way about Dion. Dion, I absolutely hated.
The trash talkers.
I hated him.
The ones who talked the most, yeah.
And it all went out the window.
Yep.
CP3, same thing.
Yeah, no, the CP3 one is a great one. He was all, like, I didn't even write him down my list of guys who I hate in basketball. Like, for me, I mean, anyone who was on the Lob City Clippers, I guess, so he is still in that sense. But the 180 I did on Chris Paul in the last year is one of the most surprising about faces I've personally ever done as a fan. But no, when those guys trash talk you like that, I'll always remember I was a junior in college watching that with my roommates in Miami when that game happened. And watching that interview, like, I went from, I don't really like this Seahawks team or Richard Sherman, to I might despise him more than anything in life ever. Like, the way he talked that trash to Crabtree, and the worst part about it was there's nothing you could do. What, he earned the right. You lost. You had to take it. That was, like, the most frustrating thing about it was the fact that you just had to lie there and take it, and that just made you hate him even more. Because you're so helpless there that you have nothing to do than to take that abuse from him.
What about turkey on the 50?
Oh, my God.
The guy ate turkey on the 50.
Meanwhile, your owner's tweeting out apologies, making himself look like a total clown. Again, that's the word. You're self-inflicting wounds. This guy's eating turkey on your logo, and your owner is embarrassing you as a fan even more. Like, that just adds to the layer of hate. Now I kind of want to hate Jed York right now just thinking about it.
Relax.
I mean, I'm not going down that
relax.
Far. I'm not going that far, but, like, that's the kind of emotion that guys like Richard Sherman, you know, in his villain days would have licked. It was just, it was that strong. It was that, you know, the fur was just that intense with him that, oh, that's a great call there by Caitlin.
All right, so you're keeping the list, right, Sam? Sam Lubman filling in for Bonte. Bonte's
got
not
Brett
feeling
Favre
so hot
and
today.
Richard Sherman.
Okay, so we got Favre, Richard Sherman. I'm throwing Lasorda on there. I hated Tommy Lasorda. Put him on my list. Put Bill Parcells on my list. Jimmy Johnson. Here's a couple from the text line, and we're going to go out to the phone lines. 888-957-9570. All right? Here's a couple from the Comcast business text line. Michael Irvin and Emmett Smith. Michael Irvin, I put over Emmitt Smith because Michael Irvin used to do the first down, like the whole get the first down and then point like this. Hated his guts.
That's playmaking.
Justin Verlander coming in on our list. That's a good one.
Tell me you're an A's fan without telling me you're an A's fan.
He's a scratch golfer with a beautiful wife, and the guy's got a picture-perfect pitching career.
That's one where it depends on who you're a fan of. Like, I know for a fact that's an A's fan texting that in because Justin Verlander is their boogeyman. I mean, okay. They had that those 13-14 A's teams, we all remember, those were incredible A's teams, and in 12 and 13, they ran into the brick wall that was Justin Verlander. And 12 had to sting even more because you have this dude completely shut you down. I believe that one was in Detroit. No, that was at your home field, I believe, in 2012. And then that same guy who shuts you down then goes gets embarrassed by Pablo Sandoval in the World Series stage. When Justin Verlander was staring out towards left field seats and said, "Wow, it was impossible for me to ever hate Justin Verlander because we beat you."
Yeah.
And that goes into the, when you beat them, the hate changes.
It dissipates.
That's why, like, it's so hard for me to really hold LeBron James to that hate level. As I said, Justin Verlander, same thing. When you beat him like that, like, I may not like him for whatever reason, but it's never going to be it's never going to be top tier intense for me.
No, I get that. I get that. All right, 888-957-9570. I want to hear from everybody, all right? I want to hear from you. We're playing Patrick freaking Mahomes this week and Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes has won 80% of his NFL starts. He's been to 4 Super Bowls. He's won 3, and 2 of them are against us that we had double-digit leads in.
And the worst part is about those, like, those are incredible wins that he pulled out, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, it's not just, oh, they won the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl, and they did so in a way that is going to have multiple movies and documentaries made about it throughout history. Because, objectively speaking, those were incredible games. I think the worst, one sinking realization I had, Shasky, is you and I were up in the rafters watching the Super Bowl at Allegiant Stadium this year. I'm watching this game, and I'm thinking, the Niners need to pull this out, because if they don't, this game's going to be talked about for a billion years, and you want the Niners to be on the right side of history in that one.
His montage into the Hall of Fame will have nothing but Niner highlights, and you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM in HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's go out to Elevation Vic in San Jose. I love that name, Elevation Vic. Hey, Vic, I was down in your neck of the woods on Friday. My wife and my son and I, we went down to Prina, I think it's called Prina Family Farms in Morgan Hill. Oh my God, it's amazing. If you've got toddlers, go check it out. This place is awesome. Who do you got? Who is on your all-time hated list for Bay Area sports? Who is it? Who's number one?
It's got to be Kyrie Irving. Ooh. We're talking KD into leaving the Warriors. Him and his flat earth theory and not taking COVID shots. I can't believe if we still had KD, we'd have 10 championships.
Such a great call. That's such a great call.
Kyrie Irving's a really good underrated call, because not only do you hate him for sports reasons, but as Elevation Vic pointed out, the dude's also just an idiot off the court. Anyone who comes out saying the earth is flat, know that you are automatically on my I don't ever want to hear a word out of you, you're an absolute nincompoop list. Like, that's just top tier reason to hate Kyrie Irving right there off the spot. And then, of course, the shot over Steph.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about, like, we beat LeBron, so the magic kind of faded a little bit. Like, the fact that Kyrie kind of jumped ship on the Cavs and that the Warriors didn't get that extra win over him, the fact that he wasn't present in that first final series, yeah, it's a little bit different, and now he gets to work with Klay Thompson now.
All right, well, Kyrie's got to be... So write down Kyrie. Yeah, all right, we're going to go through this whole list before the break.
Just did right there.
I'm just Kyrie, just to that shot. All right, Miguel in San Antonio. Miguel, 888-957-9570. It's Mahomes this week, guys. I hate this guy.
So far, by the way, we got Favre, Big Pun had Favre, Caitlin had Richard Sherman, then Electric Elevation Vic had Kyrie Irving, and then Textline had Verlander.
All right. Elevation Vic had Kyrie Irving. Miguel in San Antonio, who do you got on your all-time Bay Area sports hated list? Who is it?
Hey, Chesky. Hey, Sam. So for me, I'm an old school A's fan, and it was Kurt Gibson and Oral Hershiser. I was a kid. We were in the series. I cried, and what made it worse? I mean, my dad and my brother were Dodger fans, and it was just like those names, just like, you know, what Gibson did to Eckersley, you know, in that ninth inning homer, and then Hershiser just closing out the game. It was just the worst. And I was like a baseball guy. I played baseball. It was just the worst. Since then, though, it was Sherm. It was Sherman with the Crabtree and all that stuff. But I got my payback when Wilson threw that pick against the Patriots, and you just see his face. That was that moment.
That was
face,
yes.
That shot on his face. That
went from
awesome.
Happy to sad.
Yeah, but definitely right now it is Mahomes, man, and the Chiefs. They're just like that boogeyman that can just snatch you up and, you know, eat you up, man. So I think the Niners going into this game, they have more fight in them, I think, than the Chiefs do. I think they have to prove it. Where the Chiefs, you know, they're sitting up there undefeated, and I think we can just smack them and just take it. And then what a gift, being able to watch, like you said, football this weekend. I kind of said that last week too. I just sat back and I just watched the Cowboys implode. That one pick Dak had where he got saved by a flag. I was like, okay, we're warming up. And then he had that pick in the end zone. It was just beauty. It was beautiful. I'm out here in San Antonio, so I get to go around and watch all the Cowboys fans moping around, taking down their little flags, you know, not knowing what to do. And I'm just out here with my Niners everything.
Let's go.
I can't wait for that game.
Great job.
I can't wait for that game.
Great call, buddy. Great call. So he said Oral Hershiser.
And Kurt, you know, it's interesting that he said that. He said that as an OG A's fan, he went for Oral Hershiser and Kurt Gibson. I'm surprised. I wonder if A's fans come on with Derek Jeter yet.
Of course they do.
I mean, I'm surprised
I hated
that hasn't
Derek
come
Jeter
on.
And I wasn't an A's fan.
Yeah.
I hated that guy. But Oral Hershiser, I close my eyes and I'm like, look, I love Sabian. The 1998 one-year deal for Oral Hershiser, it goes down as one of my least favorite signings of all time. Let's go out to Ray in Daly City. All right, Niners are playing the Chiefs this Sunday. Mahomes has won almost 100 games in his career. He wins at an 80% clip. He's got 3 Super Bowls, 2 of them against us. We got to beat this guy. He is at the top of my all-time hate list. Ray in Daly City, who do you have at the top of your all-time hate list in Bay Area sports?
Yeah, the other caller said Brett Favre, which was okay. I hated him too, but the one I hated the most on the Packers team growing up in high school, Desmond Howard, man. That dude... For the most part, we can hang with Brett Favre because we had Steve Young. But, man, Desmond Howard was the one that threw the knockout blows, dude. And I hated him.
That's a great call. Yeah. I hated Desmond Howard. See, he was a return specialist, got drafted by the Lions, and then eventually went over to Green Bay. And he was the difference. Special teams always was the difference. I believe he returned.
As we've seen this year.
Yeah, he returned one in the mud, the sloppy field. I know Bonte would know exactly what it was. It was the game where Steve Young had the flak jacket, and he had the broken ribs from the week prior, and then Gerback had to come into the game. And Desmond Howard kicked our butt. Special teams kicked our butt. But Desmond Howard in particular, what a great call.
No, I like that one a lot. Trying to think who else. I mean, who else is kind of fitting in here? You know who actually popped up for me as I think about it? For me, it's Tom Brady. For a long, long time, I despised him, and that goes back to growing up as a Raider fan in the Tuck play. It basically how that moment was the beginning, the end of Raider football here in Oakland, and then being able to see Tom Brady build a Hall of Fame career off of that moment, and it was a fumble. Like, I don't care what it says. It was a fumble, and it still gets me mad to this point because everything that happened after that, and that was one of those things where it's just like, eventually you get to a point where you just have to accept how great Tom Brady is, but it was so hard to do that for a long time. There's a lot of great years to Tom Brady that I just refused to even watch or enjoy because I hated him so much for that one moment. And that's what it's going to be like, you know, for Shohei Ohtani. He's probably going to have one of the greatest careers in baseball history. And I'm barely going to watch any of it because I'm just so disgusted by it.
You're stuck on Ohtani.
I despise that man.
Why are you so stuck on Ohtani?
Because he should be in jail for betting on baseball
games. But the Giants have only faced him for 1 year in the division. Like, I get
your
point.
What's going to be coming down the pipe with that.
Oh, jeez.
It's only going to get worse from here on out.
Mahomes has beaten us twice in the Super Bowl. He's putting together one of the greatest careers of all time, and you're on his hit list.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not disagreeing with that. Like, he's right up there as well. Like, it's... There's a lot of guys you could hate right now in Bay Area sports.
I know, but hating Shohei feels like wasted energy currently. Don't get me wrong. I hate the Dodgers, but like, do you hate Mookie Betts that much?
Yeah, it's a little bit. Yeah, not to Shohei level. It's because the one know why Shohei is at a different level is because he is that good.
Okay.
He is like that. He is the modern day Babe Ruth. Mookie Betts is great, but Shohei is better, and he's going to be better for a longer time with the Dodgers.
Hey, fair enough. All right, let's go out to Alfonso in Richmond. 888-957-9570. Niners Chiefs this weekend. The season's back on track. The Eagles are chanting to have their coach fired. The freaking Cowboys got blown out. Sadly, Aiden Hutchinson's going to be out for the year. I mean, he's a superstar for the Detroit Lions. The NFC is wide open, and this is a grudge match against the team that beat you twice in the Super Bowl when you were up double digits. I hate Mahomes.
It's on our home turf, too. Like, that just adds to it. You got to defend home turf to be able to get that win in front of the home
Absolutely.
Crowd.
Absolutely.
Oh, you know Niner fans are going to be so fired up. They got a couple weeks to get ready for this. Temperatures should be normal this weekend, so you don't need to deal with a heat wave. Like, Niner fans, this is the weekend to get down to Levi's. You know, make sure you ice your vocal cords this week because you're going to need them this Sunday. You know, because that's what they have come to town right now with Patrick Mahomes. This is there's a revenge element here. There is a get the mentals right element here that Niner fans need this weekend.
Nahegan, it gets in my ear. What were you wanted to say?
All right, you hate the Chiefs, right?
I do.
You hate Mahomes, right?
I do.
In about 10 minutes, I'm going to play you a promo, we call it, that's running on our Kansas City station.
No.
That's going to fire you up like never before.
My God. That's a tease, folks. By the way,
that is a nefarious tease.
20 minutes from now, Frank Gore, old-time Niner legend, Alfonso in Richmond, step right up. What do you got, buddy? Who do you hate?
Man, the one I hated the most, I was in high school, you know, in the late 80s era, Mike Scott of the Houston Astros.
Oh, great call.
That guy used to always scuff that baseball, so he had an advantage, and he used to get away with it. And I hated it when we had to face him because we struggled against him. And that's, you know, Mike Scott, you know, he was one of those I didn't like too much, you know, in that era.
That's a great call. No, I love that. See, like, to me, it's personal. Did the guy rip your heart out? Did the guy rip your freaking heart out? And all the guys on my list, for the most part, ripped my heart out.
Well, I think that kind of goes into some of the, sorry to cut you off there, but some, like, you know, I mean, obviously Patrick Mahomes is at the very, very, very top. But some of these other guys on the hate list, it's basically born out of just one or two moments where they did rip your heart out. A guy who's, you know, maybe not big Q rating for me, but is always going to be high on my hate list, it's Pudge Rodriguez for holding on to that ball in 2003.
Call.
But, like, all you had to do was drop the ball, but he held on to it because he's that freaking good. And so it's small moments like that lead to an entire generation of hate. Mike Scott, that's a great kind of off-the-radar reference for me. It's probably more before my time in terms of just, like, remembering how good a guy like that was. But one moment like that, yeah, it could translate to hate for the rest of your life.
When you're a little kid in the backyard and you're playing football, it's the fourth quarter. You're down and you're scrambling and you're trying to win. Like, me and my cousin Mike, and we would play in the backyard forever and we would scramble. Some kid in every yard in America is pretending to be Mahomes against the Niners, and you're the team that he's marching down against in his imaginary mind in the backyard because you've lost to this guy in childlike fashion twice in the Super Bowl.
The layers just get so deep.
All right, so there is a Kansas City promo. The boss wants to play me. That's what's coming up. Don't go anywhere. 15 minutes from now, Frank Gore. That's what's coming up on The Game, and it's brought to you by Safeway.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.